You will sleep better than you have ever slept. You've never been this relaxed. Are you ready to change your life?
I'm Rusty Diamond, certified hypnotist. You don't need to leave your house. You can stay in your bed. You can stay in your favorite chair. You just need a computer or your phone. You can get a hold of me. Stay at home. I'll make your life better.
HypnosisIsGreat.com.
It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker. It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker.
Yo, man. Boom, it's Rusty. What's up, everyone? Welcome back. It's Monday after a long, long, long weekend. So I'm still recovering from that. Recovering from Friday night. That's what it's like being 41 years old. So if you want to know, it's Monday. Friday night will still have you dead. Even though I haven't done anything since Friday night. Still dead. So that's good. So that's about how long it'll take. So I wonder what it'll be like in 10 years. So thank you everyone for being here on the Rusty Diamond Podcast Network. Welcome to the podcast, the public access podcast out of Pennsylvania, the podcast. And welcome, welcome, welcome. If you are watching this, you can go and maybe think, hey, I don't like watching this guy, but I like his content. I love his guests. You can go check out anywhere you listen to podcasts and it'll be there. The show will be there. Just look up the Public Access Podcast. And if you are listening to this and you think, oh, I want to know what they look like, you know, you can go on YouTube or Rumble, whatever you want. I don't know where you are with any one of that. Any one of those things, any one of that things. Yeah, so go there. I don't know. It'll be somewhere. You can find the show easy. It's pretty simple. But thank you, everyone, for being here. If you want to contact me or know anything more about the show or anything, rustydiamond.net. Easy, easy, easy. So thank you, everyone, for being here. And it's time for me to bring out my special guest right here and right now. And my special guest right here and right now is Candy Rose. Thank you for being here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I was wondering if I was going to get hypnotized while I was watching your intro, you know.
Possibly. Maybe during the show. I don't know. I don't really know. But we'll find out. So you decided to go out, live the good life this weekend, it seems like.
I am. I'm at my house in Florida. I live in Atlanta mostly, but I have a house down here. So been here for about a week and decided to stay for an extra day to watch the eclipse on the beach. So that's why I'm doing a podcast in my car.
Okay. That's a good way to do it. To have a little extra, you know, a little extra time at the beach. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with staying a little longer. That's in what, like, 4 hours or something, somewhere in there. Are there a lot of people down by where you are right now, or is it like a spot that people are going
to? So I am in North Florida. I've lived all over Florida. I've lived in Miami. I've lived in Middle Florida, Cocoa Beach. I've lived out in Tampa. I am a Georgia, Florida girl. I've gone back and forth, back and forth. But Mama's in Georgia, so I always end up back there. But I'm in North Florida now, and the island that we're on is a small island. It's kind of older. It's very relaxed. You know, a lot of people love this kind of feel, and I love it too. But I also have like a little bit of a wild streak in me, which we're going to talk about. So the people and the, you know, I like seeing a lot of people. So this is really good for me and my daughter kind of family time, and that's what we're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. So then what about the wild side? What's up with the wild side?
Well, that's a side that I have tried to tame for a very long time, and I think when you have a wild streak in you, I think that I don't think it ever really just goes away. I think it's always there. It's always waiting to come out whenever you let it come out. But as a mom who has a almost 14-year-old, I've learned to bring out the other side of me, which is the responsible side and the side that likes to work and make money and do good things with my time. Just say that.
So then how are you taming the wild side? How's that working? How's that working out for you, I guess, of
You
taming
know,
it?
the taming of the wild side was a long, what, there was a lot of things that happened in my life. So I think just getting beat up over the years and hitting rock bottom and then having a child, I think it sort of begins to tame somebody that has a wild streak. For those of you that are watching, and especially when you have a child, you're like, okay, I have a child now, I need to be responsible. I need to, it's not all about me anymore, so I've got to do the right thing, and that kind of keeps me in line. Yeah.
Did that happen pretty fast when you found out that you're me having a child, that like it's not all about me and I need to
Yeah.
tame, I guess, is
Yeah.
the
It
term
was.
you're using?
Yeah, I think it was like overnight. I mean, when I had my child, I was like, wow, it was all about her. And which is really strange because I was a very selfish person. It was all about me, and I did what I wanted when I wanted with who I wanted, and I lived, like I said, I did whatever I wanted. And when she came along, I was very I was like, wow, I love something more than myself now, which I think like for the majority of people that have kids, I think that the majority of us would say that's what changes us. But for me, I was like, wow, I love something more than myself. And so then I got my act together, but it wasn't 100% together. I mean, it was, but
Sure.
it wasn't. And I would go back and forth with my wild side. And I think after, after she turned like maybe 10 or 11, I was finally like, okay, I think I'm kind of done with that crowd now. I think, and that's not to say that like when I go to Vegas or I go out of town, it's there, I'm telling you. But like you say you go out on Friday night, like I'm not really into like just going and hanging out anymore in my hometown on a Friday night. But if you want to go to Mexico or Vegas or go party on a yacht, I'm down. I'm down for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean what's that like? Are you in a part of Florida where there's people just kind of chilling out on yachts? Is that kind of a thing? Are
That was in
you
Miami. That was my
That
Miami
was
days. Yeah.
okay.
And those were a lot of fun. We'd go to Columbus Day Regatta. It was me and a bunch of girls. At the time, I was working at a strip club, and I was having a really good time, and I was hanging out with people who were having a really good time, and we met guys, that I mean, anybody that knows Miami, it's just the haves and have nots. And being a young single girl, cute, that it was easy to get invited to go to these amazing parties. And so we would go down to Columbus Day Regatta, which is like it's like a like an hour away from Miami by yacht or by boat, but we just happened to be on a yacht. And it was just a party for an entire weekend, and it was a lot of fun. And we partied at the Versace Mansion in Miami. Friend of mine, his friend had bought it after the original guy had died, and so we did a lot of parties there. We did parties at like Star Island. Like it was a lot of fun there too. And then you'd see like, I remember one time like Julio Iglesias was there and like so many people. And we were just all hanging out and having a good time, you know. But
Yeah.
yeah, that was South Florida. North Florida, not so much.
Is
North Florida is
it
a little quiet.
and so I mean for everyday life then, so is that like I mean what's the kind of change though, like now you know you're going from that one, was that like a you know like a big contrast? I mean, like you wake up and now as you know go to the store or you know is there like a main street or something there and you like go and you're like, oh hey Fred, hey Jan, you guys still doing whatever kind of a thing, or is it
Yeah, I
yeah
think everybody knows everybody here on the island. I don't really know everybody because I don't live here. So it's more of a vacation home. And I'm
okay.
also a real estate investor, so while I was working as a stripper, I
Yep.
sometimes I even have a hard time like still saying it, which I don't know why, because everybody's an OnlyFans girl now, so like everybody's like a stripper now, pretty much. But
Right.
like it wasn't everybody wasn't doing it when I did it. So, you know, it was very hush hush. Like I didn't want anybody to know. And so I didn't tell anybody about it. Like, I mean, my family didn't know, my friends didn't know, because when I was working in when I was living in Atlanta, I would travel down to like Mons Venus, Tampa, which was pretty much known, you know, one of the best clubs in the nation. And then when I moved to Miami, finally, I didn't tell any of my friends back home that I was dancing. I didn't tell my family I was dancing. And even my friends that were in Miami, I wouldn't even tell them. I'd just like disappear, go work, and then pop back into the scene. Like when I would go to these parties and stuff, I wasn't walking around telling everybody I was a dancer. I should have, because I could have made more money. But like I tried to keep the worlds separate. So I did that for 6 years on and off. And then I ended up getting into real estate investing. And
So,
so, yeah.
okay, so how, because I mean, okay, it's a like a great crossover that I don't think is utilized at all, and like you don't hear that story, because there's a lot you can take from stripping and like what goes into it and everything to have like a relatively easy path into real estate. And so were you putting money aside or did you get in kind of at with just like going in to start selling
So
and
wasn't
then
it is an easy, anybody can get into real estate. That's the thing. So, but not anybody
but
can be good at it. I
right.
mean, it's pretty hard, to be honest.
Absolutely.
When you hear, like, we have a joke when somebody's like, oh, I just got my, and I wasn't an agent. I'm an investor. So I was flipping and building houses, and I do short-term rentals. So I always like to classify that, 'cause like, we're different, right?
Sure.
There's real estate agents and then there's investors. And there's nothing wrong with either. My mom and a whole bunch of people in my family are real estate agents. My aunt, I mean, you know, like I said, everybody's got their license. My mom and my aunt were actually pretty fucking good. But what I was saying is I got into it because I was desperately trying to get out of the strip club life. So back, if you rewind a little bit, got into a lot of trouble when I was 19 years old.
What do you
So
mean?
I was arrested by the DEA and I was facing 20 years in prison. I was hanging out with some really bad people. I had been doing a lot of drugs. I have been doing drugs and drinking and dating a drug. I was dating drug dealers. And I was going down the wrong path in life. And a lot happened after I got arrested. I actually got arrested when I was 19, and then my drug dealing boyfriend got away from the cops and was a fugitive on the law at the, or with the law, whatever. And I didn't really understand what I was involved with. And so after that, after we broke up, because I didn't see him anymore, because now he's a fugitive, we could see each other.
Right.
I was like, that was when I decided I was going to get into stripping. And I got into stripping because I was going to these strip clubs with my drug dealing boyfriend, and it just seemed really glamorous. I was like, well, you know, they're making a lot of money. They seem like they're having a good time. They get to party. Sounds fun. I want to do it. And so I got into it. Well, in between those years, I was always trying to find a way to get out of the club because I was drinking and drugs, and it was really starting to weigh on me because I had been partying since I was like 15.
Oh,
I
shit.
started doing
Okay.
drugs when I was about 17. And so by the time I'm like, you know, 20, 21, I mean, this is a good long run at this point. And I didn't leave the club until I was 25. And so like there was a long time of partying. And so in between that, when I was 23, I got arrested by the feds again.
Shit.
And because I had missed a court date for the first time that I got arrested. And this time when they arrested me, it was because I guess they had a warrant out for my arrest. And like I said, my ex drug dealing boyfriend told me he was going to take care of it. Well, apparently he didn't take care of it. And I was 19 when I got
Oh shit.
arrested. So I was young and dumb. I didn't know any better. And I just thought it would just go away. Like, I didn't even tell my parents. I just thought, oh, well, he said he's going to take care of it. It'll just go away. So I'm living my life, you know, everything's fine. And 4 years later, after the first event, the feds actually came to my mom's house. They busted in, shackled me, put me in chains, like around my waist,
Holy
my
shit.
feet, I mean, my parents are just like, what the fuck is going on? And I was just like, get an attorney. Like, I can't say anything right now. At that point, I had been arrested 3 times because I also got arrested for underage drinking. So I was like, I knew my Miranda rights. I was like, I can't say anything. I'm going to jail. Well, I got to jail and they were like, well, you don't get a bond. You're not getting out. And I was like, well,
Whoa.
this is crazy, right? And they were like, yeah, you're looking at 20 years in prison. And so that really hit home. That was like, oh my gosh, like what have I gotten myself into? Like, I didn't know that. I knew that I was dating a drug dealer, but I didn't know who I was dating. I didn't know that the feds had been watching him. I didn't know that he was like this international drug lord. Like, I didn't know any of that because he was 10 years older than me. I was just having a good time. I was like head over heels for this guy, and I never saw him do any deals. And so he never, like, I didn't know, right? I didn't know.
You
And
had a
so
hunch?
I knew he was a drug dealer. I just
Okay.
didn't know what he was involved with. And so I knew, and I knew that he always had drugs, right? I knew that
Right?
he had a lot of money. I mean, it didn't take that much to put it into, you know,
Yeah.
it's not like he ever told me he was a drug dealer. He didn't ever take me or be, I was never around when he did a deal, but he had thousands of dollars on him and diamonds. And I mean, you know what I mean? Like, okay, like we know what we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they said, like, you're not getting out. You're facing 20 years in prison. And I stayed in jail for a month, which was crazy. My nickname was Barbie, and
Oh shit. How did that go over with everyone else in there calling you Barbie? How was that a good thing or was that not a good thing?
it was actually a good thing. They were my friends in there. I was really depressed when I first got in there, and sleeping like nonstop the first couple of days, giving all my food away. And then, you know, finally by like the third day, I was like, okay, I'm gonna eat this food. No, you can't have my food anymore. And I got up and I started doing like a bunch of sit-ups and push-ups and stuff. I'm really into fitness. I've always been into fitness. And I was like running up and down the stairs, like just doing whatever I could because it was a really overcrowded jail. Like I was sleeping on the floor in a cot. Like I didn't even have a pillow the first few days. And we didn't have like TVs or books or Bibles or none of that. Like we don't have any of that. Like it was a bad jail. I don't think there's any good jails. But so this girl comes over one day and she was like, "Hey, Barbie, we was wondering if you'd teach us aerobics." And I was like, "Okay, sure, I'll teach you
Oh
aerobics."
shit.
So
Cool.
I
That's
taught aerobics like twice a day for like the entire time I was in there. We did all kinds of stuff, like all kinds of stuff. It was a lot of fun.
a good thing to get into. I mean, that's a great skill to have when you're in there. Like I heard,
Yeah.
another one that's a good one is like being a barber or something, cutting people's hair, I heard is a good one, but an
Yeah.
aerobics instructor would be a really good one too, I assume.
Right.
I think
I don't
who wouldn't
know. I
like
don't
that?
really know how many aerobics instructors are actually in jails and prisons. But it worked for me, and I ended up, getting friends in there, which not everybody in there looked at me like they wanted to be my friend, Like there was some pretty scary girls in there that looked at me like they didn't like me a lot.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. I need to get some friends in here. So I said, yeah, I'll teach you aerobics. And I mean, so after that, it was kind of like we'd all hang out, eating, I'd eat with them and they'd go outside with me and we just kind of be together, And I mean, I was the only white girl in there. So it wasn't like I didn't have like, a group of, like you hear in prison, like, certain people hang out with their race. Like I was the
Right.
only white girl in there, so I it was only me. So I made friends. And then I had my group, and then nobody bothered me while I was in there. So that was pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
And so has that ever been something that you thought of that, like, maybe going back and one day and you're teaching aerobics classes? At some jail, or is that nothing that like you'd ever want to do again?
Actually, now I want to speak to jails, and I would like to speak to jails and prisons too. I am speaking to like I speak with I spoke to 500 women at this rehabilitation center in Alabama, a couple months ago, and it was perfect. It was like, women that were struggling with drinking and drugs. And some had been to jail and prison, and others were single moms. Others had were at the center because they were leaving from abusive relationships, which I was also in. And so my thing now is to speak and to help others
Cool.
because of the crazy life that I've lived and the person that I am today, right? I don't sit
Right.
here and claim that I'm perfect. I have a good heart, and I've always had a good heart though. So, but now I am able to help others to see that just because you're in this situation or just because you were in that situation doesn't mean that you can't make your life better. So I think that's where my strong points come in. Yeah.
Right. And I mean, it's I don't know, like to be able to think that when all that was happening, whatever, however many years ago, that one day it's going to be like, oh, I'm gonna be able to speak on this. I mean, like, would that have even been a thought?
No,
Like this
no,
is something I'm gonna be like, hey, I can turn this into speaking
no,
engagements and,
no, not at all,
nice
not at
part of my
all. Like,
career.
no, like, man, I was hopeless. I mean, I lived like I was really, really hurting for a lot of years.
What do you mean?
I so So when I was, so basically that kind of that life was the life that I was living. And so then I became the stripper, right? And then I was trying to get out of the club. And then I finally got out of the club. And that's when I became a real estate investor. But before that happened, I also met this guy that was living in South Florida. He was actually one of my best friends. And we fell in love, and not long after, probably like it was more, I think it was kind of like 6 to 12 months later, that's when I noticed, and it was about 12 months later, that's when he became abusive. And so my story kind of has a lot of like ups and downs to it, but I dealt with that abuse for about 4 years. And this was a man, like I said, he was my best friend. We waited to be intimate together. I actually left the club for him. You know, I tried to do everything I could. You know, we were going to church and trying to do some counseling. I was doing a lot of counseling because I was struggling with the person that I was, all the things that I had done.
Thanks for your
And I think, you know, when I finally left him, he threatened my life one night, and I thought he was gonna kill me. And I almost took my life about a month later after leaving him. It was just, I was sitting there looking at everything that I had created. I mean, at that time, I was a college dropout. You know, I had a criminal background. I was a conditional felon. I was a stripper for 6 years. My home was now in pre-foreclosure. The first home that I ever bought was now in, or my second home, I'm sorry, was in pre-foreclosure. And I had nothing to show for my life. And I was just like, I am so ashamed of the woman that I've become. My parents didn't raise me this way. I feel like I let God down. I let myself down. I let my parents down. And I was just in so much pain from the abuse. Like my heart was breaking. Which I know is strange for people who haven't been in abusive relationships. They don't understand why we can't just leave or why does it hurt so bad. But it, you know, I was also very young. So I think just everything around me just looked hopeless. And so I almost took my life because I was like, there's no way, no way I'm going to be able to pull myself out of this hole. There's no way. I have nothing. Like, I don't have anything. How am I going to do this? Like, who's going to ever want me? Who's going to want a person like me, you know? And, so to answer your question, no, I had no idea that I would one day write a book and one day become a speaker and one day have this confidence to talk to you about my story. I really thought it was the end of the road for me a long time. It was back in, I think it was, gosh, I don't remember what year, but it was a long time ago that I had nothing. And then now I look at my life and I'm like, thank God I didn't do that. I mean, because you can always turn your life around. That's the thing. That's what people don't understand. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter where you come from, what your sexual preference is, what your color is. None of that matters. All that matters is like the human, is like the fight of the human spirit, I think, you know?
Well, yeah, what was the turnaround then? What was the point where, because if you were at that point where it was like, this is it, there's no coming back, what was the part where you said, well, wait a minute, wait a minute, what about this? What was that moment? What was that thing?
So it was the night after. So that night I remember thinking I think it just might be easier if I just wasn't here anymore. And I thought about it. I had a way, you know, that I could have done it. And I went to sleep that night, and then the next day I just woke up and I felt differently. I felt like something inside of me was just, I don't know what it was, but it was just something that was just like, this isn't it. You know, you're not, this isn't how your life is going to end. You need to get up. You need to fight. You need to fight for what you want. And so I did. I got up, and I always say the first thing I did is I went you know, I went and took a shower because I was so depressed. I don't think I had showered in like a month. I lost like 25 pounds in 1 month. I mean, I was so sick and so depressed. I wasn't eating. I was sleeping like 18 hours a day. And I went to the bathroom and I was like, oh my God, my eyebrows, they are so bushy. They were, and I said, and this is what makes me laugh because I didn't care. I didn't care what was happening to me, right? But
Right.
the part that I realized was like, okay, is like my eyebrows, they get really bushy. Right now they're done, but they get to these like bushy eyebrows, which a lot of girls like in these times. But I was like, man, I gotta get my eyebrows done. I gotta take a shower. And so it was just something inside me that was like, get up, get up, just get up. And so I tell people that like I had a choice. I had a choice to make. I could either just get up and do something, or I could have just like continued to listen to this other voice that was just telling me that I was nothing. You know, I feel like there was like two voices in my head, you know?
Right.
And so,
And yeah.
yeah.
Go
No, go
ahead.
ahead.
I was gonna say then, like, just like that the shower part, like, is how hard it can be just to get into the shower. Like it doesn't have, it's not really that hard, but like you get the points, you're like, it's fucking really hard just like even hop into the shower, like, but I know it's good, but like I can't do that. I can't fucking get in the shower right now. Like,
Yeah,
no.
it is such a big deal. And honestly, Rusty, to this day, when I'm not feeling good, I get in the shower. I think that's one of the best things that people can do is if you're not feeling good, just go take a shower. Like, get
Right.
in the water, jump in a pool, jump in a lake, jump in whatever, get in some water. I feel like water is so cleansing. Yeah.
I think
So it
so
helped.
too.
Yeah. It really helped.
So
And
are is that a something that you do often then? Do you seek out like going and like jumping in a lake or going, I don't know, jumping off some rock or something, or going and just
I
hanging
love
out at
water.
the beach or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, I love water. I think it's so peaceful. I love the beach. I love just looking at the ocean. I love like being on a boat. I think water again is just soothing, but as far as like getting in water, I have to if I take a shower when I'm not feeling good. And sometimes I take 2 showers a day if I'm not feeling good. And I'm not, you don't even have to shower. You don't just get let the water just get over you, right? Like
Right.
I do that. I do that a lot. And it's funny because I didn't really even remember that until just talking to you right now. But like I do it all the time. And even like my daughter, she won't be feeling good. I'm like, just go take a shower. Like she's like, why? I'm like, because it'll make you feel better. She's like, I don't think so. And then she'll take a shower and she'll come downstairs. And I'm like, do you feel any better? She's like, yeah, I do feel better. I feel better now.
Yeah.
So I took a shower and later that day, well, that morning, I went to my closet and I had taken this course on, I had bought this book and taken this course on how to become a real estate investor. And the reason that I had that book, the reason that I got into it was one night when I came home from the club, from the strip club. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning, so I was home early. It was kind of a dead night because normally I wouldn't get in until about 7 a.m. The club stayed up until 6. So I lived. It was
Holy
in North
shit.
Miami. Yeah, it was an all-nighter. I wouldn't go until 10 or 11. So I'm home. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and this guy comes on. He's like Carlton Sheets, if anybody's listening and knows who this guy is. This was back like during the infomercial world of like TV, you know, before YouTube and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Dean Graziosi was on there too. It was Carlton Sheets, Dean Graziosi, but Carlton Sheets is the one that got me. And he was like, I bought all this real estate without any of my own money. And you can too. And I was like, so I'm like watching it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he's bought all these houses, none of his own money. I'm gonna do this. I buy this book, it's like $300, and I wait for it in the mail because we don't have like email, okay? Y'all that are watching now, you have so, like so much at your fingertips. Like, you know, you have to wait for it to come. The book comes big, it's fat. I read it cover to cover, and all I get out of it was like, go to RIAs, go to Real Estate Investor Association meetings. And so I did. I started going to the meetings. Then eventually I went to a Ron LeGrand seminar of how to flip houses creatively. And I was like, man, I was like, this is what I've been waiting for. I am so gonna do this. And I would go home, I'd tell my mom and tell everybody. We'd be like at like family get-togethers with the extended family, and I'd say, oh, I'm learning about real estate investing. I'm gonna buy houses, no money down. And I remember my mom was like, after dinner, she was like, don't tell people that because they don't understand and it just sounds weird. And I was like, okay, but I am. I'm gonna buy money, no houses down. And so, long story longer, I didn't do anything with it, of course, like everybody. We get all excited, didn't do anything. And that morning that I woke up and I was like, took a shower and all that stuff, I went to my closet and I got all my books out. And I was like, okay, this is it. Like, this is, I'm gonna get this going. Like, this is sink or swim, live or die. Literally. I was at a place where I didn't care anymore. I didn't have any fear. I was so numb. It was just like, I'm gonna do this. Now, doing it, yeah, there was a little, still a little like, oh, like, oh, right? But I got it out. I like lay all my books out and it was like, okay, I'm gonna go get my yellow corrugated signs. We buy houses and big letters. I worked with some people for free. I know how to do this, put my number on there, printed out all my stuff, all my questions that I'm supposed to ask. I go out at like 4 o'clock in the morning, set all my signs out, wait, and nothing. And I'm like, no. And so nothing happens. So then I do it again, like a few days later, go out 4 o'clock in the morning. I wait, nothing happens. And I'm like, oh my God, like I know this stuff works. It still works. So then I do it again. And I go out and put it in different areas, and I get a call. I get a call. The lady calls me. I'm in my car. I've got all my stuff printed out. I'm like so nervous, and I'm like, okay, I got all my questions here. And I'm like, okay, so if I were to pay cash and close quickly, what would you sell your home for? It was so unnatural. Now I'm like, okay, cool. What's your bottom line if I can pay you cash and close quickly, right? So, but at
Yeah.
the time, I didn't know. And so, and she answered. And
And
then I
she gave
went
you the
on and
number
on.
first.
What's that?
She gave you the number first. And so
Yeah,
you had
because
that already because that's what the question
right.
feeds
So they teach
into.
us to always get a number first. I'm
Yeah.
going to teach y'all something. And I don't even coach real estate investing, even though I am a real estate investor. I used to, but now I coach other things. But so yeah, so anyway, so she answers all the questions. And so I go home, I get my stuff all like lined up, and I go down there, and I ended up getting her to sign the contract. And within 45 days of the beginning of when I put my signs out to when I found an investor, I ended up wholesaling it, making an assignment fee of $7,000, and I was able to save my home from pre-foreclosure, and that was the beginning of my real estate career, and I never looked back. It
So,
was great.
is that like, so there's this guy on TikTok that I'd watch, and he was doing something like that. So, like, you would go and get them to sign it over, and then you like immediately sign it over, you like sell it to somebody else,
Yeah.
to, okay.
Yeah. It's pretty much like that. It's called a wholesale fee or an assignment. It's a wholesale or an assignment fee. And
Yeah.
so basically you assign the contract and you make a fee. And depending on how you set it up, you don't even have to pay for closing cost or anything. You just sign, you sell it to somebody else. That's how a lot of people get into real estate investing because it's easy to make a fee. Well, it's not easy, but if you do it, you
Right.
can make the fee.
That's how you can
Right.
do it. That's the way to do it. And okay. And yeah, so then yeah, I can't
But
what's remember
that
that guy's name?
money gave me the confidence to never step foot back into the strip club again. And so I was so that's so when you asked me like, okay, well, that sounds easy, that's why I had to go back to tell you the story because I was like, well, that easy. But I was
Right.
hungry. And I needed a different life. I needed to get out of that life badly. I didn't want to be. And when you don't have a college degree, you don't have a lot of money, and there's other things to do besides real estate investing. I mean, there's so much to do. I feel like out there for people. Like, you don't have to just be a real estate investor. You make money doing podcast or blogging or whatever it is that if you love to do it, then you can make money doing it. And,
Right.
I think that that's important for people to know that,
And so, so was it just getting old, being at the strip club, or just like was it the people you were working with? Was it the management? Was it the people coming in
It
to the
was all of the
place, or?
above. I struggled with drinking and drugs really badly.
And
And
that just
so
kind of makes it
yeah,
easy to be there every day.
I would black out. I mean, sometimes I OD'd on stuff. I just yeah, it was really bad. It was definitely an environment that I didn't want to be in because it was hard for me to say no. If I had to be there, it wasn't easy for me to say no, And
Yeah.
also I didn't respect myself anymore. I didn't like it was like, okay, cool. I'm young. And so okay. But I felt like as I was getting older, I felt like now I needed to become somebody that I respected and that other people respected. I always say that you get a pass when you're young. We all get a pass because we're all young and dumb. But
Right.
as you get older, you're sort of supposed to become better, And
Some sort of evolution.
I'm not judging people if they haven't gotten their act together yet. I'm just saying at some point every one of us owes it to ourselves to find that person that makes our life better. That person that's us, but like that's waiting for us, to become,
Right.
That's what I feel. That's what I feel. And I feel like, that kind of life, the party and lifestyle, it's very Not I feel, I know. It's very lonely. It's very, you hang out with questionable people. You date questionable people. You do questionable things. You do very dangerous things. And again, I told you at the beginning, I got a wild streak in me, okay? I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm just saying I don't do that very much anymore. And I cut out a lot of things that were harming me. Yeah. So
Yeah.
Just yeah, that's why I wanted to get out.
And so, what do you tell someone who's like either, do you tell someone who doesn't want to get out to get out, or do you, you let them do what they're going to do? Do you give them words, or do you, or if they're someone who is wanting to get out, what do you tell them, or do you tell them anything, or do you let them find their own way?
I think you have to be ready, I mean, look, if I
Right.
go and I tell some girls, okay, I did recently. I was talking to some people and they were like, well, we like it. We don't care. We like it. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. I used to be exactly like you. And if somebody tell me like I wasn't living my life right, I'd be like, fuck you, who are you? You wanna go? Let's
Right.
brawl. Right? Like I would fight. I mean,
Yeah.
and I did fight. I got in fist fights and all kinds of stuff. But so if they're not ready, then they're not ready, right? So
Right.
I'm not gonna try to tell somebody that's not ready to do anything. It's kind of like telling a girl to leave her abusive boyfriend. If she's not ready, she's not ready. I've been there too, But when you're ready, and then you're looking for that person to help you, then that's when I'm are is what you're doing right now, is that really, does that make you feel good? Do you feel good about yourself? And usually the answer is no. And it's like, okay, well, how long are you going to continue to do this? Like, what do you need? Do you need help getting out? Like, do you not believe that you can be have a better life? Like, what's holding you back? Because there's something mentally that they're struggling with that probably they don't believe that they can have a better life. They don't believe that they're a good person, that anybody's going to want them like I did. And so I think that they're just struggling mentally. And so I feel like that's one of my biggest callings in life is to go out there and share my story, because I feel like people don't really talk about their struggles very openly. And so we kind of feel like we're lonely. We feel alone. We feel isolated. We feel like we're like the only people going through this at the time. And I
Right.
think it's important for them to see that other people are going through it and other people have gone through it and gotten through it, and that they need to hear the messages that you're not your choices. Like, your past is your past, but your past doesn't define who you can be in your future. In fact, your past is going to shape who you are in your future, because a lot of times we take our pain and we turn it into our purpose, right? You've heard that, you know?
Absolutely.
And so it's like, don't feel bad. Like, it feel bad, but then take it and use it. You know, use that pain, you
Yeah.
know?
And then, like, if you get, whether it's rock bottom or someplace pretty near there, I mean, that's kind of when you're at that point where, whatever you do, I mean, you can go anywhere else, like, this my deep wisdom is like when you shit your pants, you can't really shit your pants anymore. Like, you're good. You can just you're like what's gonna be worse? Like, so I mean, then you're like really open to just like, well, yeah, I guess I could do this. Like, it's gotta be a step up, and like, who's gonna say no? Like, well, it's either that or I'm just sitting here like, oh fuck,
Can
well,
you shit?
am I shit?
And
Like, and it's
many people are sitting in their metaphorical shit.
right. And you can and at that point, like, you can have those that like short feeling bad for yourself, and you that can last a long time too, of that just, but then that part can also jumpstart you to get to, hey, look, I guess I could do something. Like, here we go. Let's try something new. This path is not taking me anywhere. I'm just, yeah, stuck here.
Yeah.
Let's do some
I
something
have a
new.
funny saying too. I always say, like, get to rock bottom as fast as you can. Like, if you're already going there, just go on and go. I mean, if you're not even close, try not to go there. But if you're already getting pretty close, let's just get there so that we can go ahead and get started on your comeback, right?
I love it.
I don't want my daughter to go to rock bottom. I don't want my daughter to do anything that I've done. And I pray that she doesn't. I feel like, yeah, I have a brother. I have two brothers and a sister, and they've all
Me
lived
too.
a pretty good life. Yeah. And I always say that I was the scapegoat, and I
Me too.
always tell them that you are welcome. You're welcome that I did all these crazy things so that you could see that you didn't want to do it. My mom and stepdad would bring my brother and sister. My other brother lives with my dad, or live with, he's older now, but they would bring them to jail to visit me in my orange jumpsuit behind, the screen on the phone. And I always tell them, like, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't really think they understand how I actually think or feel, because they didn't go through what I went through, right? So I want my daughter to be like them. And I tell her, take the good parts of me, be the good parts of me, just skip out on some of the other stuff, And I don't know where I was going with that. But oh yeah, the rock bottom place, But if you already are, like, if you obviously, me and you are a lot alike, right? So
Yeah.
if you're already like me and Rusty, just come on with it. Let's just, embrace it. Embrace your craziness. Just know that you're not alone. Hit rock bottom, get back up, or just get back up where you are right now. For me, I read a lot of self-help books and spiritual books, and you have, I always joke, I call it the YouTube with my daughter. You have YouTube and everything, and you have so much stuff that you can just look for, positive stuff, motivational things and stories like this that I'm talking about. There's just a lot of things that you can do, and as that's what I would tell somebody who's struggling, and start looking for stuff that you can read and get involved with different groups, support groups. Make sure they're positive, because there's a lot of groups that are just dwell on the negative, like on social media. They just
Interesting.
talk about the past all the time, and I'm like, okay, great. Great. Like, we've all been abused. Can we talk about how to make our lives better now? Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be in that group.
Right.
Like, if you're going through it, but if you've gotten through it, then we want something more uplifting. We want to know now, okay, how do we get better now? Like, okay, we were abused, but a lot of the groups still dwell on the past that they were abused, and I'm like, nobody's getting better here. So that's my thing. I try to help
Yeah.
abuse victims and single moms, and that's my main thing, and that's what I do. Also, you asked about jail, but I did want to make something for the strippers one day, because I always say strippers need love too, of how to get out of the club. So, so strippers, I love you too.
So then what is that saved for later for another time of is it like kind of a would it be a bigger book for that, or do you think there's kind of a streamlined way to do that, to get out of the
Oh,
club?
to read? Okay. Well, first, I would obviously recommend them to read my book called Naked.
Yeah.
Little spin on the title,
Oh,
because
yeah.
I talk about my story in detail. But aside from that one, I would recommend them. It's kind of, I think, just a path of like what you're looking for, and I think that like the power of, I like to read stuff like the power of the positive, like positive mindsets. And I read How to Win Friends and Influence People, ironically enough, when I was stripping. And I took what I learned in that book, and then I went and talked to all of the guys about how to, what they said, which is probably using my powers for not good, but it worked, and I always say that my communication skills, I believe, I developed in the club, because I would read these books, and then I go and talk to these people, and as anybody knows, if you're a good stripper, you keep them talking, because the longer they talk, the more money you make. Okay.
Yeah.
Not all about the dancing. It is, but it's not. It's more, a lot of guys are in there just want to talk to somebody. But sorry to go back and
Especially,
forth with the strip club thing. But
yeah.
there's a lot of books you can read that can help you. Like, if you're shy, read about like how to not be so shy. If you need help with like your confidence, read about confidence books. If I love spiritual books. So depending on what religion you are, or if you're religious, or maybe you're not religious, like read, what genre speaks to you. And all of that. And if you don't like to read, audiobooks.
Right. And I mean, what is it? I want to say it's like not library.org or something like that. I mean, you can get like pretty much any book you want for free. Or if you like go to your library and get a library card, they're free. And then you can, I mean, you have online access to at least everything in your county. And then probably a pretty good access to most any book, or audio book or whatever, you can just get at your library. People forget about the library. Like, I don't, it's there. You're paying for it with your taxes. Like, use that shit. It's fucking great. You can get anyone and anything else you can't. Like you were saying earlier, there's YouTube University, which is, will have pretty much anything else that you want to. I mean, there's tons of videos or talks or anything about people doing that. And what you gonna do? What you gonna do? And it's all right. It's good to keep evolving. And I hope that people are keeping on evolving. And if you're not evolving, what are you doing? When are you going to evolve? What are you waiting for? You want to hit rock bottom? You can go hit rock bottom. Maybe not too far. Maybe it's a long way. If it is, stay the fuck away from it and keep evolving. That's not that hard. Anyone can do it. Anyone can evolve. So, get to evolving. And I may get her back. She may come back. I don't know. Or I may just end it. But if you want, you can go and you can check out Candy's book. And I will get her contact information. I will put it in the show notes. So you can just click on it and that'll be that easy. And then you can go there. You can check out her book naked. She may come back. She may not again. So I don't really know. But thank you, everybody, for being here. I'll give her until the end of me talking about this. So, oh, here she is. We'll get her and we'll wrap it up. I get the wrap it up box and I'm hitting it. And she is
Hey,
made
I'm
it
here.
back. She's here.
I'm
Okay,
here.
so cool. I
Can
can't
you
see
see
you.
me? I can't see you.
Let me see if I can get this
Hold on,
S to
hold on.
start.
There
There you go.
we
You're good.
are. I'm so
We're back.
sorry. Yay.
That's okay.
Okay.
So I
Yes.
figure we can wrap it up then. And is that cool?
Yeah. We can
Oh, okay.
definitely wrap it up. Yeah, that is fine. It was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun on your podcast.
Yeah, me too. We'll probably have to do another one here down the line. There's more to talk about. And so where are people going to find you in the world or on the internet or wherever you want them to find you?
So they can go to my website. It's candyrose.com, candy with an I, rose like the flower.com. I'm always giving away something for free on my website. So sometimes it's a free ebook, or sometimes it's a free book, or sometimes I have like free games. So I know you were saying stuff about giving things, helping people to get things for not a lot of money. So I'm big into that. And also with single moms and abuse survivors and women that need help, they can if they can't afford my book, I'm always going to give them a copy of my ebook, and so they can always reach out to me if it's not there. But I just think overall, I just have a big place in my heart for helping women. I love you guys too. Don't get me wrong, I love y'all so much. But but also I have a social media which they can also find on my website, but it's the Candy Rose. So yeah, they can go and find me there.
Who's the other Candy Rose?
Somebody
Is there another Candy Rose that?
took my name. Like I couldn't have like just Candy Rose, so I had to put the
There's
Candy Rose. So that's
always that one.
I know. I was able to get it actually on YouTube. I think it is just Candy Rose on which my YouTube isn't very big. My Instagram is the biggest,
Yet.
just because what I started building first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you say
Yet.
yet? Yet.
Yet.
Yeah. So I'm trying to build the YouTube, but yeah. So
Hell
they
yeah.
can find all that stuff on my website. But I really appreciated your questions because you really just led with a real conversation,
Thank you.
It wasn't just like,
That
tell me what you did from the beginning, which is what I normally do.
right. And
And
you can, if you want to hear those interviews, you can go to, if you search Candy Rose Podcast, you'll probably have some of those pop up, I assume, and that you can have those questions answered because after this interview, they're going to probably want to go listen to more of you and then they can get those questions, but thank you for saying that. I like to have something a little bit different because I don't I'm kind of the same way. Like I've got asked a lot of the same questions when I go on podcasts. And plus, if I have questions written down, then I'm going to be stopping and it's not going to be like a real conversation. And that's what I want on the show. Like I want to be like, what it's like to have a real conversation with the person. And then I feel like
Right.
you
Instead
can
of me
get.
going like, oh, by the way, you're like, hold on a second. Let's go back to your childhood though. First, real quick. Let's
Yeah, I have this thing. Let me go back. And like,
Yeah.
so yeah, I appreciate that. So thank you. Yeah, thank you for being on. I had a good time talking with you, meeting you. So yeah, I hope you
Darn.
get to keep your eyes good. You can look at the eclipse probably. I'm not a
Oh
doctor.
yeah,
You got the
we're
glasses.
going to, guys, okay, these are the glasses,
There you go.
but I kind of want to look at it with my real eyes and just see what happens,
Right?
because I feel like it's probably just a big hoax just to get us to buy these glasses.
Who have you heard? Who have you ever heard that's damaged their eyes from looking at an eclipse?
Who has looked at the eclipse though,
Who
right?
has? Yeah. I also
Who
heard that
has? I don't
looking at
know.
the sun is good.
I did too.
Like,
I really feel, Rusty, that we're probably going to be good friends because I feel like we think of
yeah.
the same thing.
I think so too.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
yeah. Stay tuned for part two then sometime.
Okay. Sounds good.
Cool. All right. Have a great day.
Thanks.
All right.
All right, you too.
All right. Candy Rose. Yeah. I like that. That was cool. So check her out. I'll put the links and everything. Easy to find her. If you find the other Candy Rose, tell her to change her name so she can have this Candy Rose. So thank you everyone for being here on the Rusty Diamond Podcast Network. Check me out, rustydiamond.net. That's easy. Or hypnosisisgreat.com. I don't care. Do whatever you want. Find me. Google me. Google me, bitch, as Ice Cube said. And I think Paul Heyman said in his speech this weekend. So I don't know. That sounds cool, right? Bing me, bitch. What else? Yahoo me, bitch. I don't know. Whatever you guys want to do. Thank you everyone for being here. So until next time, that is the show, man. Boom.
It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker. It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker.